Once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge.
Great. The new GoDaddy Aero has AI marketing tools.
A very pleasant good Tuesday morning. It is a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The always helpful Scott Giese trying to direct things behind the scenes.
Not doing a very good job.
Not helping.
No. Not really.
And your old pal Ironhead here on a Tuesday morning. Open phone time to start the program, 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning.
All right. We got
lots going on.
Yeah, we got a busy, busy, busy day. We have two guests coming up, actually. Coming up at 9 o'clock, State Senator Chris Dush is going to join us. And, boy, do we got things to talk about with him. Rockview State Prison, what's up with that? The new 322. I guess I was surprised yesterday when PennDOT said, okay, here's the winner. And they announced which route of the three finalists that they want to go with. I know Senator.
See, that's the one that made the most sense to me.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing the route. They're having this public meeting on Thursday.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to spill the beans after.
Oh,
Thursday.
No. They announced last week that
so
this would be on the website.
Monday, here it
yes.
is. So it's the central route,
yep.
I guess. There's not much difference between the three, but okay. I know Senator
Depending on for some individuals, there's a substantial difference. But
Good point.
Yeah.
So I know Senator Dush has some opinions on that. So we're going to be talking with him coming up at 9 o'clock. Also coming up in a bit is the Iron Man competition, which, again, if you do that, you're nuts. But, hey, that's me. Josh Cohn is going to join us later this hour to talk about the competition. One thing in particular, they're looking for volunteers to help out that particular day. And so Josh is going to join us at about 8:45 to talk about this upcoming event. How you can be a fan, but also how you can be a volunteer. So stay tuned for that. All right. And then we've got about 8 million other things to talk about.
That'll be followed later this summer by the Iron Head event, where you...
Oh, what's that?
Oh, well, the first leg of it is you eat as many chicken wings as you possibly can.
Okay.
That is followed by the consumption of brewskis.
Oh, yes.
And then it is all topped off by how many hours of sports can you watch consecutively.
Oh, yeah.
It is quite the challenge, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have more details on the Iron Head competition, not to be confused with the Iron Man competition. Details on the Iron Head competition will be coming up later this summer.
That's quite a triathlon.
Holy.
I mean, that could take days.
You're telling me.
It could take days.
Potentially weeks. Potentially.
Weeks.
You put the right sports on there, baby.
Ooh. Okay. Just put a Penn State highlight reel down.
There you go.
And he'll watch it. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, this is crazy today. We got a 2-hour show. I've got 4 hours of material. I mean, this is
at least nuts.
In my particular case, all right, buddy, I'm feeling a little old today.
Well, okay? Welcome to my world.
Well, I'm older than you.
I realize.
Which you point out from time to time.
Was that me mentioning that?
Yeah, that was you, yes.
Huh.
My,
I hadn't picked up on that.
My youngest turns 30 today.
Ooh.
That's my youngest turns 30 today. How old's Reggie? He's 9.
He is 9.
9, okay.
Yeah.
Now, you have so much to look forward
to.
Soon
to be double digits.
Uh-oh.
He turns 10 in July.
Oh, okay. So, already wished my girl a happy birthday today. Wish I could be with her today. She's blessed me with 2 beautiful grandkids, which is terrific, but she's 30 today. I'm like, oh, man. You know, and she, my back hurt. I hurt my back doing something the other day. I'm like, sweetheart, let's double your age and we'll talk, okay? And hopefully when you double your age, I'll still be here to talk.
There you go.
So there we go. Anyway.
Well, a couple of, so on the teaching front, teaching related front, we got a notice, and I want to be clear. I am not arguing this decision. I am very happy with this decision. There were going to be some substantial conflicts and decisions that we were going to have to make if not for this decision. So do not misunderstand, but I do have a genuine question. All right, the decision that I am talking about, we got a notification yesterday from the State College Area School District. And again, I want the record to clearly show I am very happy, very, very happy with the decision and the notification. But it is leading to a question from me, because for most of my life, and I've always thought this is just, it's a little interesting the way we I think, play games with it, my terminology. 180 school days, right? Is it 180? I think it's 180 school days that you're, that supposedly, I think it's mandated, right, by the state?
Well, Pennsylvania is now, it's either 180 days or 900 something hours.
Okay.
But it's been 180 days for ever.
Yes.
Long time.
And they are not adding hours. I will tell you, at State College Area School District, we have had more. They have this 3-hour early dismissal now. We do a 3-hour planned delay on some mornings. Obviously, we have 2-hour delays here and there, early dismissals, depending on whether or not all of these things. And all of those count as school days, which, again, whatever. Okay. So, we have the power outage last week. I don't know. Did you guys hear about that? We had a storm come through.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, did you hear about it?
Big blow.
Yeah. So, the State College Area School District closed last Wednesday and then went on a 2-hour delay on Thursday. So, we knew the 2-hour delay on Thursday, we're kosher there. Everything is good. But we were talking as a family because the Deer Mad Turtle has a camp that starts that following week. It's a Penn State sports camp.
You mean after school's out?
Correct. All right. The scheduled last day of school for the State College District, with all of the delays to the year that were factored in from earlier snow days and all of that, was June 6th. Friday, June 6th, it's like, and so we're tying, said, well, if they add that day, which will be that following Monday, the 9th, then we're going to be in a little bit of a problem. And if we have any other issues, now, I don't think we're going to have any other issues. I'll knock on the formica here, but so we get this notification yesterday. And again, I'm thrilled with the decision. Because the district had to call off a day of school unexpectedly last week, we would normally make that day up according to the academic calendar using our snow days. However, given the circumstances of the event and how late it is in the year, the district has decided that students will not have a makeup day. Therefore, Friday, June 6th will still be our last day for students, and it will be a half day of school for our employees, and then et cetera, et cetera. Again, I'm very happy with the decision. So do the districts have, just a genuine question. Like, they have described, the 180 isn't like a hard and fast rule.
Supposed to be.
Can you get an exemption from the state? Okay.
Yes.
So perhaps.
For emergencies.
Yes. And this, I think, would qualify as an emergency. You had road closings. You had people without power. You had 6 of the school buildings without power. So I think this would legitimately qualify. So they have to petition, though. Is it the state, or get some sort of...
Well, the state, yeah.
Yeah.
State Education Department, yes.
And they get just notification that, yep, this is an emergency day. You don't need to make it up. Is that the way? Roughly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roughly, I think so. Yeah.
All right. And again, I'm cool with that. I'm just genuinely curious because I think you could make the argument, I could make the argument, certainly, that some of those snow days would qualify as emergency days as well. If the roads are icy and impassable and you have, like, the state stepping in and saying, hey, unless you absolutely have to, we want you off the roads. We don't want people going to work, you know, unless it's an absolutely critical job that you have, like we want you staying up. Well, I would argue that then on those days, the districts ought to be granted those quote unquote emergency days.
Well, the new wild card, of course, is pick your name, flex learning, remote learning, you know.
Well, there's that component
right?
too.
So if you have the icy conditions that you just talked about, a school would go to a remote day. Which we didn't have in the old days, but
yeah,
now they do. All right.
But not all districts do. Most, I mean, they have them available, I guess, but they don't utilize them.
The great majority do anymore. They really do. Because every kid now, maybe it is every school. Every kid has a computer now. In other words, they give them one. Here you go. It's an iPad or something. Here you go. Here's a computer.
Not every kid has access at home.
Well, okay. Now
that's the problem with remote learning. Yeah.
All right. Especially in very rural areas where internet is not that great. Now, last week, I mean, so many people lost power, so remote learning's off the table. That's not going to work, all right? And again, lines down, like you said, and poles and trees and so on. That is for me, that's a legitimate emergency day.
For sure.
No doubt. And so, yes, the state should say, okay, we're going to give you a pass. Now, think about this. The 180th day of the year for school.
Very important day.
The kids
put their heads down and they are working their tails off, learning all kinds of great new information that they are sure to retain.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that not what happens?
And they watch movies and they have parties.
I can't believe that.
The 180th day of the school year is ridiculous. I mean, it's nothing. Actually, in most schools now, it's a half day. They bring kids in for the morning. Maybe they hold them for lunch. Maybe. And then they send them home. Hey, have a good summer. Hey, we got absolutely nothing accomplished today. You know, that sort of thing. So if you swap last week's missing day for that day, it's not a loss. Just a thought. Okay.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you're saying State College is keeping their current calendar and everything is cool.
Correct.
All right.
They are
good.
Yes. Right. Leaving it as is, which we are
that works.
Very grateful for at our house.
That works. Okay. All right. All right. Now, I got to be careful here. I don't want to give any free plugs.
Yeah.
All right. Now, again, this, folks, a lot of things happening here in the next, like, 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Penn State finals week is right now. All right. Those little curmudgeons are taking finals and so on. Then, of course, this weekend is graduation weekend.
Well, now, we just alarmed a couple of folks. Like, wait, what? I got to study.
Yeah. hurry up. Your finals at 10 a.m. All right. Hurry up.
My goodness, you were listening to the radio this morning.
So we have, now, first off, all right, common sense. All right. This weekend is going to be insane. In the greater State College area, you'll have thousands of people moving out. You'll have thousands of people coming in for graduation ceremonies. It's going to be nuts. If somehow I didn't realize that. Well, now you have. Okay. This weekend's going to be insane. Now, for we locals, next week means it's Freedom Week. Oh, you can drive and go anywhere in State College and go to a restaurant and it's easily done and all that. Right?
So nice.
Right? We're looking forward to next week. Yeah, okay. Now, Sunday, of course. Well, you know what Sunday is, right?
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Oh, I remember those old radio ads. Those were great. Come on, you know what Sunday is, right?
Yes.
What is it?
May 10th.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, how does he do?
You're no.
He answers Scott's questions every morning.
Actually, it's May 11th.
So. Oh, I was close. I was within a day.
It's Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Come on, Mother's Day. All right. Now, we've harangued on this show before. Right? You got two dads right here. All the money that is spent on Mother's Day compared to the money spent on Father's Day.
It's an outrage.
It is an outrage. All right? It's discrimination. I don't know. All those fancy words. Okay? Anyway.
We need equity in the holidays.
Equity.
We are holiday fighting for equity.
Holiday equity. That's
what do
right.
we want? Father's Day equal rights. When do we want it?
Now.
I don't know. Sometimes.
Or next month whatever. Or something. All right?
Yeah.
Well, Sunday is Mother's Day, and I got a post on Facebook, which I'll be honest, I don't do Facebook often, but I came across this. This is from a friend who is connected with a local flower shop. Now, I won't mention names, okay? No free plugs. But I'm going to read his note because my friend is not happy. Okay, not happy.
Your friend with Fred's flower.
I mean, don't go there. So, my friend says, I got his permission to read this last night. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Then I think he says, give us a plug. I'm like, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not doing that. So it says, I'm going to try to get this message out again with Mother's Day this week. Please, please do not. This is my friend now.
Okay.
Please do not order from sites other than the sites that you're sure are a brick and mortar florist. In other words, an actual local flower shop. Better yet, call a local florist in the area you want to send to. So in other words, some other place. Your local florist can send them out for you. This is not sour grapes on the florist's part. We are not afraid of competition. This is an alert because we care about the people who are getting ripped off. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? All right. And my friend says, I bring this up because I spent time today, once again, trying to talk down someone who ordered from, I guess, one of these national firms, AVAS. I wasn't even familiar with that. I'd look it up. And they are posing as a local flower shop, our flower shop. And I'm thinking, what? Now, this is my friend writing. They will use photos of the actual building, like local place, and say they are a florist in town. They are not, in all caps. I don't know how many times this happens. We see it almost daily. You are not getting their daily special or great sale. You are paying fees, and then they pass along the minimum amount of money they collect to the florist, who then takes the order for them. We will no longer even consider taking an order from, and there are several of these, like national groups, I guess, AVAS, Just Flowers, Ranch Flowers, and many more. So when they can't get someone to take their order, they just wait and tell you some story blaming the florist. In other words, the local person.
Oh, boy.
This has happened over and over with events and funerals where no flowers show up and customers call us to help them. Now, this is my friend. Please don't be a victim, he says. There are good flower shops in most towns, which we have several of those in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Use those people who actually work with flowers. Don't use people in an office somewhere who don't even know what the flowers are, look like, etc. This time of year, they're baiting you with great deals. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Why pay $100 and get $40 worth of flowers? Get full value at a real flower shop.
Whoa. Although, we weren't going to release the results of the special investigation we've been conducting until next week. But
I'm sorry.
We have done a pretty detailed look into these flower shops. These flowers are basically slaves. None of these flowers are getting paid by any of the shops we have investigated so far.
You sure of that?
Not even the roses.
You sure?
Are getting a dime.
Oh, boy.
from the revenue produced.
Okay.
So just a little fair warning that these folks are they're cheating the flowers is what they're
cheating
doing.
Cheating the flowers.
The flowers are not earning fair compensation for their beauty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had
we
will publish
continuing to investigate.
We'll publish that next week.
Yes, that is soon to be published.
But obviously Special Mother's Day is big for flowers. All right, that's obvious. And my friend essentially is saying, if you're going to buy flowers, get it straight from a local florist. Don't go to one of these other groups because apparently there's complaints and there's service issues and there's price and so on. And I thought, all right. I mean, we have a number of really, I think, terrific local flower shops.
I agree.
In the great State College, Bellefonte, Penns Valley, other areas and so on.
Yep.
If you're going to get flowers, go straight to the source, maybe not to one of these other places, which I... Gosh, that's what I've always done. Now, if I need flowers, I go to a local flower shop. But I know there are these national or online places where, now again, my friend's insinuation is they actually show pictures of a flower shop, but that's not their flower shop. It's just a picture. But you see it and you're like, oh, that's a local flower shop. Isn't that nice? Except it isn't. Okay. Now, I probably just ticked off somebody, not local. Probably national. Yes, we're worldwide, by the way. So, again, this is from my friend, okay? I was just reading. But my friend was just, I mean, he went off because apparently they deal with this situation every day at that flower shop, and he's fed up. He's fed up. He's had enough. All right? So, anyway, be careful where you get your flowers. There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, we got a busy show. We got our sports segment coming up. We have a guest on the local Ironman competition coming up. We have State Senator Chris Dush and plenty of things to talk about with him. And somewhere in there, we may take a phone call or two.
Well, you never know.
All right, let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano. Motto for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
It's Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese. The program is Let's Talk, and it is a, well, darn nice looking Tuesday morning at the moment. Rain caused havoc once again on the local sports scene yesterday.
What a mess.
Yes, it has just been... we feel for you, dear athletic directors, trying to get in these spring sports events where you possibly can. All right, let's take a check of the sports scene. I actually have a lot to report on this morning, despite the lack of local sports results yesterday. Penn State's Ryan Merck has been named an AVCA Honorable Mention All-American. The redshirt junior libero for the Penn State men's volleyball team, helping the Nittany Lions win the EIVA tournament and earn an automatic bid to the NCAA championships. Merck was a second-team All-American last year and now is a three-time All-American overall, earning honorable mention honors as a freshman and now again this year. He is the first Penn State libero to earn three All-America honors since Dennis Del Valle did it four times from 2008 through 2011. Merck has averaged 1.96 digs per set while helping hold opponents to a 270 hitting average through 30 matches this season. Of course, Merck and the Nittany Lions gearing up to take on the number 2 seed Hawaii in the quarterfinals of the NCAA championships. That match will be Thursday afternoon at Ohio State's Covelli Center. That'll be a 1:30 start on Thursday. Former Boston University All-American and U.S. Olympian Allie Hamill has been named an assistant coach for the Penn State field hockey team. Hamill rounds out head coach Lisa Bervinchak Love's staff as the third assistant. She played at Boston from 2015 through 2018 and was a two-time National Field Hockey Coaches Association All-American. She joined the U.S. Women's National Team in 2019 and has competed internationally ever since, representing the United States in the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics Games. The Penn State track and field team's Jim Thorpe Invitational, scheduled for this Friday, May 9th, at the Nittany Lion Outdoor Track, has been canceled. The Nittany Lions will now get ready for the Big Ten Outdoor Championships, which will be held in Eugene, Oregon, May 16th through the 18th. The Penn State softball team will open up Big Ten tournament action tomorrow in West Lafayette, Indiana. The Nittany Lions go in as the 11 seed and will face 6th seeded Iowa in the opening game of the tournament at 11 a.m. tomorrow. The other first-round games will have Indiana versus Washington, Wisconsin playing Michigan, and then host Purdue taking on Northwestern. The winner of the Penn State-Iowa game tomorrow will then face third-seeded Nebraska in the quarterfinals on Thursday at 11 a.m. The other teams with first-round byes are second-seeded UCLA, top-seeded Oregon, and fourth-seeded Ohio State. Penn State starting the new week with a bang on the football recruiting front, Matthew Lama has committed to the Nittany Lions. He is a linebacker who was also, he's out of Knoxville, Virginia. He was also considering North Carolina, Michigan, Kentucky, Rutgers, and Virginia Tech. But he gives the nod to Penn State. And the Nittany Lions 2026 recruiting class is now ranked fourth in the nation by 247 Sports and second in the Big Ten just behind USC, the Nittany Lions jumping over Clemson to claim the number four spot in the latest rankings. Former Penn State wide receiver Julian Fleming failed a physical with the Green Bay Packers, and so he is not on their minicamp roster. According to Mark Malkowski of the news item, hip and back injuries are causing concern for the Packers. Fleming is reportedly talking with several other teams about trying to join their minicamps. Penn State hockey getting a big recruit yesterday. Guy Gadowski and his Nittany Lions squad landing a five-star forward in Luke Misa. The 20-year-old Misa, a fifth-round pick of the Calgary Flames in 2024, has been a star in the Ontario Hockey League over the past couple of seasons, and he figures to help bolster an already very strong returning lineup for the Nittany Lions next season. Brian Reynolds hit a two-run homer in the top of the first inning, and the Pirates jumped out to a 2-0 lead last night. The Bucs will be back in action against the Cardinals.
Wait. What? Rest of the game.
No, they were up 2-0.
Well, I know that.
And then they'll play the Cardinals again.
What about the rest of the game?
Tonight. Well, it didn't go well. The Cardinals put up four runs off of Chase Shugart in the sixth inning to pull away for the 6-3 victory. Pittsburgh had actually regained the lead with an RBI single from Adam Frazier in the fourth. Shugart faced six batters, and of these six, only six got on base.
Oh, okay. Six for six.
Wilson Contreras hit a two-run homer. Jose Barrero, who had homered earlier in the game, knocked in two more with a ground rule double. And the Cardinals, again, take the opening game of that series in St. Louis. Pittsburgh now with 12 wins and 24 losses. That is not a great win-to-loss ratio.
You like to flip that around.
In the overall scheme of things, the Buccos trail the first-place Cubs by 10 games in the National League Central, and they now trail fourth-place St. Louis by 5 games, heading into the second game of that series tonight. First pitch will be at 7:45. Airtime will be at 7:20 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And the rumors are starting to escalate that the Pirates, once their contract runs out at PNC Park, may be departing Pittsburgh.
This again?
Yep.
Okay.
Starting to gain some traction. Several national reports saying, yep, there's some exploratory discussions going on right now.
And the reasons for this are what?
Well, they're a god-awful franchise, and they're not getting the support they want for being a god-awful franchise in Pittsburgh, is the short summary. The Phillies had yesterday off and will open a series against the Rays in Tampa tonight. First pitch will be at 7:05. Little good news on the Pirates front. Kevin Markwood, the 20-year-old man who fell from the right field stands last week onto the warning track during a Pirates game, did take his first steps since that fall, according to the organizer of his GoFundMe page, Jennifer Phillips, who reportedly is the mother of Markwood's girlfriend. Markwood, if you missed this story, fell over the outfield railing 21 feet above the field during the seventh inning of the Pirates game against the Chicago Cubs last week. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. He flipped multiple times during the fall and landed on the warning track, where he remained motionless for several minutes as medical staff from both teams tended to him. Markwood was transported to the Allegheny General Hospital. Phillips, writing yesterday that he still has a long way to go, saying that Markwood suffered a broken neck, a broken clavicle, and a broken back. Earlier reports said there were several vertebrae that were fractured, so long road to recovery, but taking his first steps yesterday again, according to the organizer of his GoFundMe page. Pittsburgh Tribune Review reported last week that Markwood, again, 20 years old, had played football at South Allegheny High School, graduating in 2022, and went on to play football at Walsh University and at Wheeling University, both Division II programs. Michigan head football coach Sherrone Moore is set to be suspended for two games for the 2025 season. This, according to ESPN. Of course, you know, you sit out the first two games. Not the first two games. This all goes back to the Connor Stallions scandal from 2023. ESPN reports that Michigan has imposed a suspension for games three and four for the Wolverines in the upcoming season. Why games three and four? Darn good question. Michigan is slated to host Central Michigan in week three and then play its Big Ten opener at Nebraska in week four. Moore, according to the ESPN report, will be on the sideline, though, for the opening two games against New Mexico on August 30th. And, look at this. He'll be there for the Michigan at Oklahoma game the following week. But, boy, they're taking serious action.
You know why.
The former Wolverines offensive coordinator will return to the sidelines for the Michigan game at home against Wisconsin on October 4th. Moore will not be allowed to participate in team activities the weeks that he is suspended, according to ESPN. He also reportedly will receive recruiting-related penalties. The NCAA, of course, could still opt to punish Moore further. They were speculating on LeVar's show this morning, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, that that's why Michigan chose games three and four. They're anticipating that the NCAA may step in and say, no, it needs to be a four-game suspension, and so games one and two. I don't know. It's just weird that this is how they go about it. To me, very weird. Michigan, of course, won the national title in 2023. News broke during that season that Stallions was involved in a sign-stealing scandal and was accused of sending friends and family members to film signals of future Michigan opponents. Stallions ended up resigning. Former Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, of course, was suspended for multiple games that year. An emotional Moore, memorably winning one for Harbaugh. Just a mess. What a mess.
Well, I'm no Michigan expert by any stretch.
Yeah.
Allegedly, I take this true, Moore is a graduate of Oklahoma. He's an Oklahoma grad.
Yes.
So they... I don't know. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, so they don't want him to miss the game against his former school or something. I guess why didn't they suspend him for games 1 and 3? Why didn't you just do that? All right, because again, those were the small fry on the schedule. Okay, just do 1 and 3. All right, keep 2 and 4. Oklahoma and Nebraska. You know what the heck? I mean, folks, seriously. I'd be curious if the NCAA does more, because I think they want this to just go away.
Yes.
I think they want this whole situation just go away.
Well, and they don't want to be. They don't want to be put in a position where their significantly decreased role in college athletics is showcased. And this will showcase, because Michigan, if it wants, the NCAA could say, hey, we're going to add to this. Michigan could say, go pound salt, and the NCAA is going to go pound salt, because the NCAA has no teeth any longer. It is the conferences. If you've not been paying attention, the conferences now run college football. And in particular, the Big Ten and the SEC. So if Michigan goes to the Big Ten and says, hey, we don't want this, we don't want to follow these NCAA sanctions, and the Big Ten agrees with them, then the sanctions aren't going to be carried out.
Okay.
That's my firm belief.
Very nice.
Yeah, why not pick, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. All right. I've never seen a games 3 and 4 deal. It's always, okay, the first X number of games.
Seriously.
Now apparently you can pick your games.
Yes.
Okay, that's a real serious punishment.
All right. We are going to suspend our Major League Baseball manager for 6 games. The next time they play the Pirates and the next time they play the Rockies, our manager will not be in the dugout. Okay, then.
Okay, yeah. That's
fantastic.
That's a very...
Luckily, he will be there when we take on the New York Yankees and the San Diego Padres. Okay.
Okay.
Worked out well.
What a wonderful world.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, before we take a break, very quick. Now, yesterday I muffed. All right, I muffed yesterday.
Uh-oh.
For folks that are on our newsletter list, our 98.7 The Fox Insider Newsletter, I sent out our most recent issue early yesterday morning, and I muffed it.
Yeah.
All right, we have a survey question in there, and it's this week it's sort of a politics question, actually multiple questions, really short. And I didn't do the link right, and I had the prior survey. So if you're a newsletter subscriber, I may actually send it out again today, essentially to say, oops, all right, because we enjoy when people respond to the survey question. So the last time out, our survey question was, what was the most successful varsity team at Penn State this school year?
Ooh.
And perhaps they didn't actually win a championship. All right? And so, now I didn't go too crazy. It was only 2 questions. And so the first one is, I put 5 teams down. I put Penn State football.
Yeah.
Penn State women's volleyball.
Yeah.
Penn State wrestling.
Yeah.
Penn State men's ice hockey.
Yeah.
And I did put down Penn State women's ice hockey.
Yeah.
I could have kept going. I could have put women's soccer down. They had a great season.
They did.
They got to the, quarterfinals or something for the NCAA tournament. The results, you'll like this. Of course you will. 56% said Penn State wrestling.
Yeah.
All right. 33% said Penn State women's volleyball. 11% said Penn State football. Nobody picked hockey. Although one guy did remark, almost said men's hockey, tough choice. They chose wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So, no surprise. Penn State wrestling, wins this doggone thing. The most successful varsity team this year. Although, the second question, people could leave comments. And, for women's volleyball, obviously they mentioned, here's one person, they won a national title when they weren't supposed to, and they did it while their coach was being treated for cancer.
Yeah, pretty remarkable stuff.
All right. And a couple of people, kind of mentioned that. Now, one guy picked wrestling, said the total domination of the sport is amazing. I live in Pittsburgh, so it's great to put Pitt fans in their place. We are Penn State.
Okay. Oh, always good to put Pitt
fans. All right, very nice.
Absolutely.
So right. There we go. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, we got a full show. We're going to talk about the upcoming Ironman, not Ironhead, Ironman competition coming up. State Senator Chris Dush is going to join us top of the hour. Lots to talk about with him. Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll continue right after.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Dotter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Dotter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
All right, lots to cover, lots to talk about. Let's get right to it. There's a big event coming up once again. I think you people are crazy. Iron Man, you're nuts, okay? But and Josh is laughing. Okay,
he knows they're nuts.
All right. Well, we welcome Josh Cohn with the Happy Valley Sports and Entertainment Alliance, talking about the upcoming Ironman Pennsylvania. Oh, no, I got to mention the 70.3 miles. Pennsylvania Happy Valley Triathlon. You're nuts. All right. Josh, first off, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome. Let's get some particulars. First, let's find out about you, if you would. Tell us a little something about yourself and the Happy Valley Sports and Entertainment Alliance. That's a big title. Tell us about you and tell us about the group.
Hey, so I'm I actually work locally. Ironman has me helping organize the Ironman 70.3, as you said, Pennsylvania Happy Valley, that's taking place June 15th. In just a few weeks, it's going to be here before we know it. And we work together hand-in-hand with the Sports and Entertainment Alliance with Eric and Dave Gertis over there that do such a great job in bringing events to the local community, and they're fantastic at what they do, and it's been such a great partnership with them and Ironman, and helping host this event in State College. It's been quite the event over the last couple of years, and we're going into year three here, and we're looking to make it even a better experience for people that come in from all over the U.S., outside of the U.S., and land in Happy Valley and get to see what we get to see, during the summertime. A lot of people come here in the fall for football, and it's fantastic how crazy it gets in the fall. But there's a lot to explore, a lot to do here. Yes, we are up at around Beaver Stadium, but there's a lot of places to see, a lot of cool communities in and around State College, Center County, Clinton County, that the Adventure Bureau likes to bring people into town and explore what we've got to offer. So,
all right, so June 16 is the big date. All right, there 15th. We go for the event.
June 15th, yep.
Okay, now 70, for folks who don't know what an Ironman is, 70.3 miles of what? All right, what is this exactly?
So this is what they call, referred to as a half Ironman. What you see in Hawaii is a full
Ironman.
This is a half. This is a half. It's still crazy. Still crazy. A lot of crazy people, including me. And so it's for what we have here in Happy Valley is a 1.2 mile swim that takes place at Bald Eagle State Park. That morning it kicks off at 7 o'clock out at Bald Eagle State Park. And then once athletes are done with their swim, they hop on the bike, and they bike 56 miles from Bald Eagle State Park through Howard and Pleasant Gap up and over Center Hall Mountain. They face that. We call that the Old Main Grind. And then they bike all the way back to State College up University and finish back at the stadium, right below the stadium. And then they get off the bike. They finish that with a half marathon, a 13.1-mile run, a couple loops around campus, and they'll finish right out below where the players go in and out of the stadium on Curtin Road, right across from the baseball stadiums where we have the finish line this year. So it's going to be an incredible experience. 70.3 is the total of the, if we can do math, and it's still pretty early. So from what I understand, 70.3, and when you add the 1.2, 56, and 13.1, all that stuff, it adds up to 70.3. I'll have to get out my calculator, but I'm pretty sure that's what it adds up to.
Now, Josh, how long between, so the swimming is on the June 15th. Now, how many weeks is it until they start the biking then, and then how many weeks off between the biking and the running again?
That'd be us.
What?
God,
when will the Uber show up to you can throw the bike on and get back to State College? So it happens right away. So you can do your swim, you get out, and usually people run from the water or they walk from the water to get their bike, and then they right away, as soon as they, some people take a few minutes, some people have, you know, conversations with other people. Other people fly right through the transition. And they jump on the bike as fast as they can, and they pedal their way back to State College as quick as they can. And then when they get to Beaver Stadium or the Jordan Center East parking lot, they again either hang out for a little bit, or they get on their bike or the running shoes on, and they head out for a run around campus. Now, if it were me on the run, I'd probably make my own aid station at the Creamery and stop there. We go by it four times.
Now we're
getting somewhere. Probably get at least four milkshakes. At least, yeah.
Take a few minutes between events, more like a few weeks for me. Holy moly.
Yikes. Yeah, right?
All right, now, Josh, here's the deal. This is 70 miles, which is nuts. You need volunteers, and there's a special event this evening.
I do.
What's going on?
Yes. Yeah, so to make this event possible, over the last couple years it's been incredible. The community has really come out and supported this event. We've changed the date a couple weeks because of things going on in town, but June 15th is our race date, and we need about 1,000 volunteers throughout Friday, Saturday, Sunday to make this event possible, especially on race day. So tonight we're having at Bowl City, a brewery in Bowlesburg. Gordy is letting us host a recruitment event at Bowl City. So you can come by at around 6 o'clock, and we'll be there. Our volunteer director, Amy, and I will be there and with some snacks, light refreshments, hanging out, talking, and signing people up to volunteer for the Ironman event on the weekend of June 15th. For groups, for high school sports teams, for individuals, for church groups, it's a great way to kind of get together, a lot of energy that day. You can earn some money towards a charitable organization. We can dive into that tonight or an email about how you can earn money for like a Boy Scout group or a church group or those type of things. We have an Ironman Foundation grant that helps support local programs in the community that you can apply for. It's just a really cool experience. It's been a really awesome to see all the people that come out the last couple of years. It can be early. It can be a long day, but the energy, what you get, the people that you get to meet, it's quite the experience just to even volunteer.
Josh, is there a age requirement for to volunteer? We have a Cub Scout pack, which includes like some younger kids, younger elementary school kids. Do you need a certain age for to be involved here?
So we have, on the bike course, we have aid stations. We'll probably have people that are around 16 and over on those aid stations. But one of the things that's really cool about this course is our run. Our run course is on campus and it's closed off. And one of the best things for athletes to see are kids cheering them on. And so if you have a Boy Scout group, our run course, like I said, is on campus. It's pretty closed down to all vehicular traffic that day. And so we really like having younger kids hang out at aid stations on campus and hand out water and cheer the athletes on. These athletes, like you said, mentioned prior a minute ago, that they're well into that 70.3 miles. So when they have kids cheering them on, saying, go, number 1, 2, 3, that it really is, when you're starting, your body's starting to gas out a little bit, to have, younger kids cheering you on, it really is a boost to morale and can help those athletes that are starting to struggle a little bit push through that pain, that fatigue. And so we highly encourage younger kids to get involved with guardians, parents, sports teams. We have spots for most any ages, and we'd love to have, you know, even Boy Scouts, youth groups get involved.
Now, Josh, final question.
And probably one of the important things is how to get involved. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, for this event tonight, can people just show up at Bowl City Brewing?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, they can just show up. You can show up tonight, or if you can't even make tonight, if you go into your Google or DuckDuckGo, you can look up just Ironman 70.3 Pennsylvania. You go to the race site, and you scroll down, and there's a tab off to the right that says to volunteer, and you click on that. So all you do is search in your search program browser, Ironman 70.3 Pennsylvania, scroll down, go to the volunteer tab, and you can look at different jobs. And there's email there, email link there, so you can email Amy and find out more details on how to volunteer.
Fantastic. And what time is the event again tonight at Bull City Brewing?
Come by at 6 o'clock tonight, and we'll be there. Looking forward to seeing a bunch of people there, and can't wait to bring this event to town again, June 5th. We've got lots of different jobs for volunteers to help out and get involved, and the experience, it's a good day. It's usually a nice, warm summer day, and we're excited and looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see everybody there.
Fantastic.
Right. Josh, appreciate your time. Thanks very much. And I'm sure once we get into June, we're going to hear more about this unbelievable event. A half Ironman? Really? That's a half?
Oh.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Again, we're loaded today, and we're going to talk with State Senator Chris Dush about a number of interesting issues. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Bellefonte cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano. Motto for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Panth.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time coming up at the very end of today's big show.
Yep, we've got a log jam of guests this week because of our adventures with electricity last week. All right, so we want to first welcome back to our program local state Senator Chris Dush. Senator, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be with you guys.
And it's great to finally have you after our last week. Give Ty a big thank you because I think I was trying his patience. Ty is your communications director, and I'm like, every day last week, postpone, postpone, postpone. Yikes. Anyway.
You'd think we're a local high school athletic director trying to schedule the baseball and softball games right now.
Not working. All right, we got a lot to talk about, but Senator, my opening question for you today is, we actually had you scheduled a number of weeks ago. You had some surgery recently, so we said, all right, let's put this off. How are you doing? Everything going okay?
Well, they got all the cancer. My PSA test came back with no detectable trace, so I'm in good shape. I've still got some physical therapy and some other stuff to do, but I'm healed, and right now it's looking like I'm cancer-free, so it's a blessing.
Yeah, great news.
That's outstanding. News. That's outstanding. Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure which issue to start with. let's start with Rockview. All right, Rockview Prison. Now, about a week, I've got it right here, about a week and a half ago, your office put out a news release, leading up to whatever the Department of Corrections says they want to do with, again, Rockview Prison and the Quijana Boot Camp. Don't want to forget them, up north of Carthus. And you had a news release about a week and a half ago where you were not a happy camper, I don't think. You mentioned about visiting the prison and some allegations or things that we were told maybe not quite accurate. So let's start from scratch, if you will, from that release from a week and a half ago. What was in that release? What did you see, and why were you unhappy?
Well, I think it was on prior things before I went up to the prison. I pretty much had taken the department at their word about the things that they said needed to be done. But I went up and took a look at the prison, and the things that they were talking about, like the pavement that needed redone, new fences, stuff like that. I was standing on pavement that was less than a year old. I was looking at fences that were almost brand new. The boiler system they said needed replaced. There are two boilers. One of them's already replaced, and the other one's already under contract. I don't like being lied to. And when they say they used that as part of the $72 million, they said needed to be done to renovations. That really had me fired up. So I sent a letter to the department demanding I want to know the names of the members of the steering committee, each of the criteria that was used when determining which institutions to close. Interesting on that, I'm getting some backstory that they only looked at a couple of institutions. They didn't look at all of them. Now, if you're looking to close down the institutions for, ostensibly to save money, you want to look at all of them and figure out what's going to have the most bang for your buck. And I've recently learned that SCI Chester, the therapeutic communities that that was actually designed for, they've eliminated the therapeutic communities from that prison, and it costs $208 a day to house inmates at Chester versus 160 some at Rockview. Now, that's significant, and that's a third more doing or housing them down at Chester. Other things, I wanted documents to show how the criteria was applied to each of the department's institution, how each institution scored, and as well as any other documents and correspondence. And those last two things are extremely important to me now, because if what I'm hearing is true, that they did not actually consider every institution, but they were basically targeting some institutions in rural Pennsylvania, I've got a serious issue with that.
Is there a chance, Senator, because we are dealing with government agencies, that this was just incompetency, that they didn't have updated information, or do you feel that, as you said, that you were just lied to, that they were just making stuff up to try to strengthen their case, and they thought they'd be able to just run roughshod over, you know, the rural hicks here in central Pennsylvania?
I think that's what they view us as. I mean, quite honestly, the what bugs me, Representative Kephart made the comment at the public meeting, I hope there's no sweetheart deals. And I'm also getting some indications that until I can confirm them, I'm not going to go any further, but I'm getting some indications that that may actually be part of the reasoning behind what they're doing. So the I've got a lot more digging to do. Secretary Harry responded to my letter. I gave her until last Friday. She responded last Friday, and we got the letter late. But she's just asking us to wait until we get the following the public hearings. The department began drafting responses to provide information to the common themes raised during the hearings. Now, she's going to be publishing the responses to that from the questions everybody was raising, but they're not going. I know they're not going to address the stuff that I wanted in the letter. I've been talking with other legislators who are not happy with the department for a number of reasons, and we're looking to see what we can do moving forward. I'm working to try and get build consensus for a subpoena if necessary, but we need those questions answered, and we need it out in the public how the decision-making process was run and how Rockview scored compared to the rest of the institutions in the Commonwealth, if indeed the department was actually scoring or doing a fair and balanced approach to the evaluations.
Now, Senator, if I count my days right, all right, there's this, they announced it back in February, then there's supposed to be a 90-day period where then after that the Department of Corrections might say, okay, here's what we're going to do, that sort of thing. If I'm correct, that 90 days ends next week. Are you,
yes.
I mean, what you just described, the various moves and so on, is something going to happen next week, or is this going to be delayed? What do you think happens now?
Well, I'm hoping with what's coming to light so far, the fact that they did lie to us, and more and more of our legislators are aware of it, that we may get a pause put on the decision-making. And a reevaluation until everything is out there in the public for people to see. And because I'm planning on, I won't drop this. we need to have this information. It needs to be out in the public how they came to this decision. And if it was a political decision or if there is some sort of a sweetheart deal for the land at Rockview, then that needs to be out there in the public. It can't, I mean, and it happened before they start making any moves. So I'm digging, but I'm very frustrated. It always throws red flags, and I always get suspicious when they're lying to us and about anything. And I don't take being lied to very very lightly, especially when we're serving the people of Pennsylvania or the people of my district.
All right, now you mentioned a sweetheart deal for land, all right? If that's true, do you have any idea, a sweetheart deal with whom? I mean, who there's a lot of land there, there's no doubt. I mean, thousands of acres. Is there some leaning like, well, we think they're going to give it to them or something? Any idea on the sweetheart deal with whom?
Well, because I haven't had, excuse me, I haven't been able to nail down the things that have been told me yet where I can actually say, yeah, this is something, I'm not going to comment on it, but if there's people out there that are involved in that, then they should be aware that I'm aware, and through something like this, and that I will ferret it out. Any land transfers have to come through the state government committee, which is mine, and I'm the chairman. If I find they're sacrificing my constituents and their jobs for the sake of a small number of individuals, that's going to be public.
All right. Now, you mentioned $72 million, you know, to fix up the Rockview place and so on. If they close the place down, this was supposed to be for money savings. Is that the money savings? Is the money savings, I think there's like 600 employees or something, you know, is that the money? Where would the money savings have been if they would decide to close the place down?
Well, any of the facilities they decide to close down, it's going to actually, on the employee side, they're looking at sending all those employees to other institutions. So, realistically, it's not going to save money. Another thing I was looking at with Chester, SCI Phoenix, right now, it does not have, I think it's almost only got on about half of the inmates that it's built for, and that's because of staffing issues. Now, if the department were to close SCI Chester, state employees from Pennsylvania are only to the west and north of Chester because of its location, and that's all in the direction of SCI Phoenix. If they closed Chester down, there's a casino right there at the edge of the property that wants that land. We could actually auction off and sell that land and make some money, get that back on the books as a taxable property in Chester. But that shortage of staff that they have at Phoenix, those folks are all within 30 miles. Most of my employees are driving 60 miles or more each way to work. That 37 miles that the department's using for transferring our folks from Rockview, they're a lot closer. Let's just put it this way. They'll be a lot closer, the employees, if they move from Chester to Phoenix. They won't have to travel near as far. In fact, some of them may end up having a shorter drive.
Now, Jeff and I get to talk about government every now and then. What fun. In a lot of cases, government senator just kind of moves very slowly. Do you expect this to be slow, or the Department of Corrections might put the pedal to the metal here? What all the things you described earlier, what's going to happen here in May?
Well, my hope is that what's coming out now puts a pause to it, and the department decides to put the brakes on it. And I'm looking at holding a hearing demanding the criteria. I'm being told that I may not be able to run it through state government, but have to get judiciary or one of the other committees simply because of the jurisdiction. But any property that's looking to go into mothballs or going under DGS has to come to me. So I'm thinking I've got the authority to do it, but we're rooting through that. But like I said, I'm not going to let this drop. It will be in the public. I will be getting to the bottom of what is going on. And I think the department's intention was to move quickly and just get it done. But I'm hoping that this pumps the brakes and slows it down, gives our employees at Rockview some breathing space, and that we can make sure that the department, if they are going to close down any institution, and we've got the bed space to close something down, but if they're going to do it, and they're doing it to save money, then they need to show that they're doing it to save money, and that they're not targeting a certain area, like our rural Pennsylvania.
It was amazing how the two facilities that they settled on just happened to be right there.
Right smack dab in the middle of the state. Yeah.
Central Pennsylvania. Yeah. Ha, go figure.
All right.
Let's take a break. Some other topics we want to get into for sure.
Yeah, State Senator Chris Dush is our guest. Senator, yesterday PennDOT announced the new road, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills, their choice. I know you've had some opinions on that in the past, so we're going to talk about that and some other state issues. Friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break, and we will come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dottery Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank.
ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday. You're listening to Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's program.
Once again, State Senator Chris Dush is our guest for a few more minutes this morning. All right, now, Senator, yesterday, PennDOT officially said, okay, here's the route we like for this new road from Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills and so on. And they've got a public, I guess call it a meeting or an event, on Thursday afternoon at the Wyndham Hotel, which a lot of us still call the Elks Club in Bowlesburg.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Right there, the Elks Club. I believe that event is from 4 until 8 o'clock. Anybody can come out and you can see maps and talk to people and stuff like that. Senator, I'm assuming you saw the information released yesterday. I mean, what's your reaction? Because I seem to recall you had a reaction a while back. You weren't too keen on the routes that were down. You said, what about this other route over here? So what did you think about the information released yesterday?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm down here in Harrisburg this week, and my schedule's been wall-to-wall. But Mark up in my Bellefonte office is sending that down to me to take a look at it. But I will say this. It's kind of prophetic in the timing. It's kind of like God had a plan for this phone call, because these farmers that are going to get displaced, if that's going through the land that I think it is going through, I need them to get a hold of my Bellefonte office, and I'll try and be up there on Thursday evening. I've got some other stuff scheduled, but I'm going to try and break away and get up there for that. There's some land over at Rockview that's been fallow, and it has not been used by the department. And if there's going to be any land transfers with Rockview, my view is it's got to go to the farmers, because they're the ones that are being displaced. The Darlingtons have three times now, if that's their farm, have been displaced by eminent domain. I've got a piece of legislation I'm working on to reimburse the people for good faith. And when you take a farmer off of his farm who has, for generations sometimes, prepared the soils, got the best management practices for soil conservation and that kind of thing, and they've got the equipment not just for the land, but also for the terrain. Getting them reimbursed for all of that, and then trying to put them on a farm that, or a piece of land that is farmable, that's a huge... I mean, that's something for them to really have to struggle to come up with a good place where they can continue their living. So it's a business. Farming is a business. And so I'm going to be very interested in seeing that proposal, and I've been listening to my landowners up there. It's not just the farmers' businesses, but also other businesses that are along that corridor that have been reaching out to me because of the way they see the exits impacting the businesses after they've invested a lot of money in getting a their businesses set up, and then the regular homeowners that are going to be impacted. So I'll be up there. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to make it and get up there on Thursday, take a look at it. And any of the people who are on there, I encourage them to attend, take a look at it, and get a hold of me and get a hold of my office, because I want to make sure that they're taken care of.
All right. Now, Senator, let me make sure, maybe I'm misunderstanding what you just said there, but if this whole thing goes through, boom, goes through, and there it's done, this is what we're doing, essentially for those farmers that would be affected in that zone between Bowlesburg and Potter's Mills, do you want to do a trade? Like, you want to give them land some other place to make up for what's being taken from them? I mean, am I misunderstanding that?
Well, I'm throwing that out, excuse me, I'm putting that out as a possibility because, but on the other hand, I'm working on a piece of legislation. California has a piece of legislation that makes it so that they call it goodwill, and basically that you have to take into account all the different factors when you're impacting the lives and especially the livelihoods of people when you're seizing land from them. And I'm not sure of what will ultimately transpire with it, but that bill, that piece of legislation, I've actually got some good bipartisan support for. If we can get that through before this happens, PennDOT's going to have some extra expenditures in taking that land because they have to take into account, give these guys the opportunity to, if we don't have a direct land transfer, then they have to have the opportunity to find good farmland deforest an area and put a farm in and where there's suitable soil to continue what they're doing. But PennDOT needs to be, if we're going to take land from people, if we're going to seize their property, we have to make sure that they're made whole.
But I know you can't see it, but in your mind, you should see me standing up and applauding, because this is one of the things. I'm not saying in this particular case. I think eminent domain needs to be used somehow, some way. There's just no way around it. We've got to get the road constructed, and it's a safety issue and all of that. But generally speaking, I just think eminent domain is used way too often, and there is not the consideration that you are taking into account here, which is, hey, yeah, we'll give you the property value. Well, the property value, as determined by the state, doesn't take into account that, just even if it's just a homestead, forget the farming, which I agree adds an entirely different economic component to it. But, you know, if it's a piece of property that has been in your family for generations, like, it is worth more to you than just the, here's the, you know, what X amount of money that the value of the property is deemed to be worth. And yes, I just wish across the board we would do a better job. We as a society of recognizing and, in my opinion, properly compensating people when it is determined that, yeah, unfortunately, we have to take this piece of property for the greater public good.
I can give you where I got a real close example of that. Whenever I was my previous home across from it, PennDOT eminent domained a business. It was a convenience store east of Brookville. And the guy, it was a small convenience store chain, and that was his highest revenue store by a significant amount. And losing that store had an impact on his volume, which impacted the other stores. When a retailer is like a convenience store chain, is buying based on total volume. And when you have a store that outperforms two others combined, and you've only got a small number of businesses, that volume, his price increases at the other stores went up significantly. But PennDOT wasn't hearing that. They were, when you're impacting people's livelihoods, I mean, people got to make a living, and when you're doing stuff like this, you have to. If we're going to take it, we have to make sure we're looking at all the facets of how it impacts the people's, the people from whom we're taking all that property.
All right, now, Senator, again, yesterday, PennDOT said this is the one we want. All right, and they're going to have this gig on Thursday evening in Bullsburg. Can this be stopped, or does PennDOT normally get what they want? In other words, what sort of happens from this point on?
When they get to this point, that's basically pretty solid. I know they've had a couple times in the past where something's been raised and they've made changes, but that's usually on smaller projects. It's not something as significant as this. If you remember, on the other side of the mountain there on 322, when they had the issue with cutting through that stone and the chemicals that were going to be coming out just out of the rock that was there, PennDOT ultimately ended up getting that same route, but they had to put some significant extra expenditures into it.
After we were assured that, no, everybody's wrong, you guys.
I do remember that part.
We don't need to rehash that whole deal.
All right, Senator, just a few more minutes. Just sort of an open-ended question. Obviously, we got some hot potatoes here where we are. Statewide for you and your role as Senator, what are top issues in Harrisburg right now?
Well, the biggest issue that we face is the fact that we've got a multi-billion dollar structural deficit. Even if we level fund stuff the way things are going right now, we've got some what they're calling mandatory expenditures that are going to eat through our rainy day fund. But we've got to do some things to start getting business back in the Commonwealth, especially out in western Pennsylvania. The infrastructure, SEPTA is trying to get us to fund a huge amount for their mass transit system. They have taken so much money out of the liquid fuels monies to fund their projects down there, and they haven't raised their fare rates or anything to match that. And unfortunately, that money that the governor took to fund SEPTA in the short term came out of our bridges and our roads in western Pennsylvania. And We can't be repeating that. You know, I tell people down there, I said, you live in Montgomery County, you live in Bucks County, whatever, and you hop on the train or you hop on a bus, and for a half hour, 45 minutes or so, you're getting work done through your Wi-Fi on the train or whatever. You've got a chauffeur. You don't have to pay for your vehicle. You don't have to pay for the insurance. You're not paying for the gasoline, but you're asking our folks out here in western Pennsylvania to use our liquid fuels money, the money that we're using with our gas taxes, while we are paying for our insurance, we are paying our car payments, that kind of stuff. And seriously, I think I've got probably 1,000 emails from down in Philadelphia area trying to get me persuaded to help pay for the mass transit down there. They've got a lot of money down there. Part of what they say is, well, we generate 41% of the revenue for the Commonwealth. Well, If that's true, then you're making enough money to pay for your own transportation. I'm not for making our constituents pay for that kind of stuff. And by the way, while they're getting their work done, our guys got to keep their eyes on the road while they're driving to work. So, but our budget is a serious issue, and if we start getting the transportation infrastructure money out here into the western part of Pennsylvania, we will start seeing some businesses return, and we need some regulatory reform so that we can get our natural gas brought back online. I don't want to see what happened in Spain happen here, or what happened in Texas during that winter storm a few years back happened here in Pennsylvania. We have been very close to rolling brownouts or blackouts in the southeast with the PJM grid system because of the focus on renewables. And we've got good gas supplies here that can generate the constant demand that we need. So, and we can all, that can also be used to help bring in business. So, I'll give you one example out at Mehoopany, Pennsylvania. Procter & Gamble has its own Marcellus well, and it is powering everything that they need for their electric, their heating, and everything. And then they've also got money to or extra that they can add into the grid system when it's necessary. Procter & Gamble was bringing people in worldwide to take a look at how they came up with that, just to get people thinking outside the box on how to take care of how to run a good and efficient business. If Procter & Gamble can do it, there's a lot of other possibilities that we have with state, local state, and national and international corporations to take a look at our region. Get that energy supply close and start bringing our employees back.
Two things real quick, Senator, if you would. One, with the economic situation that the state is facing, it feels inevitable to me, even though I have grave concerns about it, but legalization of recreational marijuana to be regulated by the state. Where do you think we are with that issue right now?
Well, it'll pass the House. I don't see it passing the Senate. I'll just say that. You know, the only states that have it are states that have referendum. And thank God we are a republic still in Pennsylvania. The Republican form of government that Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution guarantees to each state, we still operate by that. The people of Pennsylvania hire folks that hopefully have the character and the integrity to act in the best will of the people. And thus far, we're not facing what they are in places like Colorado, where the former mayor out there, the guy who was mayor of Denver when that law passed out there, says, "I wish I could take my vote back."
Yep.
It's costing Colorado four times as much on human services related to marijuana as it does, or as the revenue that they're bringing in. So the revenue argument is totally bogus. In every single state, it's provable that in every single state where it's been passed, the revenue projections are not what they were claimed to be, and that the social cost with what happens with people who are prone to schizophrenia and the triggering, and I know in constituents in Center County of mine, it's an issue because with the medical marijuana, got a young man who, it was a triggering thing, but they can't get him off of it because it's not a prescription, and the psychologist can't revoke his medical marijuana card.
And finally, it seems like everybody, virtually everybody, is in agreement. Boy, we need to update the election laws here in Pennsylvania. We need improvement there. And it also feels like the two sides just have wildly different ideas about how to go about that improvement. Any chance that we see any changes to the election law here in Pennsylvania within the next year or so?
I have a feeling we're going to get some things passed, but we're not going to get back to where we were when people had total had a lot more integrity or faith in the integrity of the system.
Yeah.
I make the comment down here a number of times and said, you know, their argument is about getting the information out, the results out, blah, 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 so fast. I said, it's odd. I said, back in the Pony Express and the Telegraph, we could still have the answer the following morning as to who won the election, just because we had the Telegraph could get the information. And now with computers and that can do things in nanoseconds, we can't have election results on election night. We need to get back to the things that were working before. And I think we're starting to come around to that. The frustration is now from the constituents in both parties, less the politicos. It's more about talking points and things like that. But when you talk to everyday people in both parties, they want a simpler system that gets the job done, and they can have the results on election night. And I think that's where we need to go.
All right, Senator, quick question and we'll wrap it up. The arson at the governor's mansion, all right, somehow this guy gets on the property and this guy gets in the building and this guy torches part of the building, and there's going to be an investigation now, and the stories say that when they're done, they're going to keep the information private. Senator, I'd like to know, all right, I'm going to speak as a constituent. I want to know how this guy did this and who screwed up. All right. What is your thought on that?
Well, I used to do security in the Air Force. The lack of defense in depth, as we called it in the military, between the perimeter and that room that that individual got access to, is very short, and I've been down there, and I've been in the courtyard, and I've been in that room, and it's not really part of the residence. The building is part of the building as a whole, but that is kind of separate from the main residence. But the there will be things that can't be told to the public simply because of just like with the military. On a military installation, you don't want to reveal everything. That said, there are a number of shortfalls that I know have to be identified, and that one's going to have to be a balancing act between what can be released and what could, if it was released, end up being a means for another bad actor to decide whether or not, or that, oh, this is something I can exploit. So I know the Senate is going to be looking at this and going to be examining it, and I'll be looking forward to seeing the report myself. So that one I'm going to have to trust me, I get what everybody wants to know, but there are people who have bad intent that want to know as well.
All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much. And good news for you that when we let off there, I'm glad that you're doing much better. That's great.
Yes.
There were a lot of prayers there. And by the way, thanks to everybody who was praying for me. I know it works. It's a great impact. So I truly appreciate it. And thank you guys for what you do, and I'm very grateful that you guys are back on the air. And sorry for the one young man that we lost with the power lines, but we went through a lot up there over the last week or so. So,
no doubt. Well, we appreciate your patience with us as well.
Senator, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
That's local state Senator Chris Dush. All right. Some interesting answers there. We're going to take a break. We'll have a little bit of open line time if somebody wants to chime in, or we'll have some thoughts. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back right after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox, Fox Sports.
We'll
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and phone line, well, phone number is 814-954-7266, and if they held on through the break, we have a caller. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, that was a home run. Glad you're back on the air, too. Glad the Senator's doing better.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't know if there's enough time to speak. I mean, you cover so many topics, but I'm picking up on eminent domain. I absolutely love his notion of reimbursement.
Yes.
I'd love to get away from the salamanders and the fish darters and fully compensate those people who lose their land, especially if it's land that is integral to their well-being and,
yes,
and being able to make a living. Just give you some insight on what do you call them, near extinct species and invasive species, blah, blah. So many of those species as kids are doing very well. And included in that list is the eagle and the polar bear. And so what they've done is they've shifted our concern for species now down to the local level. So if you don't have the rare bird or the rare fish or the rare salamander in your region, they could call it an at-risk species. So I just hope we get away from that sort of thing and think more about our neighbors and compensating them.
Could not agree more.
All right. Take care. Glad to hear you're back on the air.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call.
All right. I've got a couple minutes if somebody wants to chime in before we're done. 814-954-7266. Now, a reminder, our guy, this PennDOT event is Thursday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the, I guess it's the Wyndham Garden Hotel, which, again, the rest of us still call it the Elks Club. All right, it's the Elks Club, top of the mountain, top of the hill there, all right? Somewhere in that spot. It's open to anybody. It's not a meeting, per se. It's a four-hour, like a public information event. So you go there, and they'll have maps, and people will talk. Now they're going to say, well, we picked this one, and here's why. Okay, so it's open for anybody to go to. I'm going to try to swing over there Thursday afternoon. Maybe after our interview there with Senator Dush, you know, somebody asks the PennDOT folks, okay, these affected people, and there's a bunch of affected people, what are they going to get? All right, and is it fair? All right, well, okay, we could argue about the word fair all day long. But that's an interesting solution that the senator mentioned. Essentially, I called it a trade. All right, we've got all this open land over here. Can we give some to these people if they're farmers and stuff? I never even thought of that. So I'd be curious if they'll answer that question, because you're right. You said it. We need this road. Okay, we need that road.
No doubt. And at this point, honestly, I wish there were, but there is not an option that just won't impact anybody. Like that, one way or another, there's going to be some land taken from individuals. But this one is, I think, eminent domain is way overused in this country. Like way overused. This is a particular case where, listen, I think this is absolutely necessary. It was necessary a couple of decades ago. My opinion here, we just can't stall, no matter any longer. Like, even as it is, this is going to take too long, but we've got to move forward with it. But I do think we need to do a better job, generally speaking, and certainly specifically speaking in this case, of properly compensating those whose property is being taken. I think we need to do a better job across the board, and certainly a better job than just, hey, this is what, if you put your land up for sale, this is what it would get on the open market. That's not, again, my opinion, not anywhere near good enough.
Yes, And we've argued about this in the past. You're like, okay, how do you compensate these folks? Holy smokes. More on that as the week continues. Hey, folks, it's a Tuesday. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Sports Radio.